News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Nikki Haley suspending her campaign after losing big on Super Tuesday.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets.
Haley congratulated Donald Trump, likely the GOP nominee, but did not endorse him. Both Trump and President Biden looking to win over Haley voters. ABC's Mary Bruce has more.
You are now going to see the president trying to reach out, trying to court and make his case to Haley's voters. He's going to have a big chance to do that tomorrow night at the State of the Union address. The campaign really views this as the kickoff to the general election.
At a Senate hearing today, the NTSB chair telling lawmakers that Boeing has not fully cooperated with the investigation into that Alaska plane door plug incident, including handing over key documents. And crews in the Texas Panhandle are starting to get a handle on those wildfires, but the damage is devastating. At least 3,500 cattle have been killed in the blazes. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Now that Super Tuesday is over, the presidential candidates are shifting focus to Wisconsin in the general election. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin today. Harris and Labor Secretary Julie Sue are in Madison talking about workers' rights, union jobs, and the economy. A new report finds people are almost as likely to find a good-paying job in rural areas as urban ones. Georgetown University's Martin Vanderwerf says it's a matter of training people for the right jobs.
There ought to be just closer ties between the labor force and educators so that we are actually educating people for the jobs that actually exist rather than jobs we wish would exist.
The Georgetown study finds rural Americans had a 50% chance at a good-paying job compared with 54% in urban areas. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The head coach of the University of Wisconsin-Superior's women's hockey team has announced his retirement. According to a Northern News Now report, Dan Laughlin was one of the longest tenured coaches in Division III women's hockey. He first became an assistant coach with the team in 2002, taking over as head coach the following season. Under his leadership, the team won three conference regular season championships, one conference playoff championship, and appeared in the NCAA tournament twice. A Duluth nonprofit wants more residents to consider mentoring a young person during a month-long campaign. Mentor North has launched their March into Mentoring program, which asks residents to nominate community members who could make a positive difference in the life of a kid from the area. The organization is hoping to take in about 100 nominations and match as many of them as they can with over 50 Twin Ports kids who are waiting for a mentor. Nominations can be made online. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A slugfest between the Brewers and Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A combined 29 hits between the two teams, but the Giants came out on top 13-8 over the Brewers. Rhys Hoskins, who turns 31 later this month, got his first home run as a Brewer.
I'm just excited to be a part of it and excited to see what I can do to help these guys to bring another division championship back to Milwaukee.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have slipped dramatically, losing 7 out of their last 9 games, but a report by CBS Sports says they still expect Wisconsin to make the final cut for the NCAA tournament. Marquette hosts number 2 ranked UConn, but without Tyler Kolek, dealing with an oblique muscle injury.
Obviously an opportunity to play a great team. Can't say enough about Tyler Kolek. It's obviously unfortunate that Tyler won't be able to play, but the good news is we feel very confident that he will be able to play at some point very soon.
That's Marquette head basketball coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny this morning with a few more clouds gradually trickling in here throughout the afternoon. Our high today, 50, with wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 32. Tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy, 53, with scattered rain tomorrow night into Friday. Our high Friday, 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 43.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Listen to the Earl Ingram Show Thursday at 9 a.m. for the Pharmacy Hour with Dr. Omar Eliwa. I'm Earl Ingram.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. On this Wednesday, March 6th, 12:06 right now, our engineer and producer, Mr. Zommer, is on the board. It is, well, it is hump day. There it is. It's delayed, much like a lot of things around this network right now. But here we are on a Wednesday, and joined by our effervescent and wonderful guest, as always on a Wednesday, from the Lincoln Project, senior advisor there, a former Republican like myself, Trigvi Olson, and joining us live from Lake Wissota, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8, a rather hoarse but recovering Pat Kreitlow. Mr. Kreitlow, first and foremost, how is your health? I'm concerned about you.
I I feel much better than I sound. I was hoping to come off as sultry, but I really think it's more like I'm going to be confined to a sanitarium for typhoid or something like that.
Well, good Lord, I'm sorry to hear this, but you, for those watching on the stream, you look healthy and fine, but just one of those things that kind of affects the old vocal cords there.
It is, you know, I've been very shameless in blaming my young grandchildren who I was visiting over the weekend. They are about to turn 2 and 5. They both had runny noses. And that's the thing about being the lava monster, is that when the kids are jumping from the couch to the love seat to a chair to avoid touching the floor with the hot lava and the monster grabs them, you know, all that mucus is going to go all over the place. And at some point the voice went, and then, you know, kind of got a little bit of the crud here. But,
well,
you know,
I'm glad you were able to join. Thanks for hopping on. I really, really appreciate the effort, and we wish you all the best and feel well soon. As it turns out, Pat Kreitlow's voice is not the only thing that's taking off and ending around here. Nikki Haley decided to suspend her presidential campaign about an hour, well, probably about 2.5 hours ago. We have a clip here. I want to play it for you. This is Nikki Haley suspending her campaign, dropping out of the race, and also the big question, of course, would she endorse the Trumpster as she exits this afternoon or this morning? Here's Nikki Haley this morning.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing. I end my campaign with the same words I began it, from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go. In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, America. God bless you.
Former governor of South Carolina, former U.N. ambassador under Trump, Nikki Haley, suspending her presidential campaign earlier this morning after she won only Vermont in last night's Super Tuesday. I have some other reaction, but first and foremost, Pat Kreitlow, what's yours?
Again, you have somebody in the Republican Party who actually does understand that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to American democracy. And yet, when the time comes to stand up, they fold. Now, they may fold and walk away like a Paul Ryan, like maybe a Nikki Haley. They may fold and hang around like a Mitt Romney, who could be doing so much more. Only a few have had the spinal fortitude to stand and continue standing, your Liz Cheney's and others. But to hear Nikki Haley's words there, again, just reminds us that if she's going to say, you know, words that allow him to appeal somehow to win back moderate votes, she's not putting country before party.
Trevi Olson, to Pat's point there, she doesn't endorse Trump. She seems to use this thing of saying you have to earn my and my supporters' vote. What do you make of this as a former Republican strategist yourself, worked on McCain's campaign, McConnell's campaigns, and others? Is this even practical, or is she going to eventually genuflect like others?
Well, I can't say what Nikki Haley will ultimately end up doing, because I think she'll have to make that choice. I think a few things. One, Nikki Haley raised a lot of, and this is the role that she played, whether you like Nikki Haley or not, she raised within the Republican Party, or what's left of it, and certainly within the broader conservative movement, a pretty strong critique of Donald Trump and how he's incongruent and cognitively, and raised cognitive dissonance between his brand of America First conservatism, I wouldn't even say that, just his brand of American First, and what traditional conservatism is about, whether that was talking about how much the debt went up under the time of Trump, how he acted in office and lack of fidelity to the Constitution, Ukraine, and other issues. I think it will be interesting to see, because if she chooses to go the route of endorsing Trump after the critique she is given, she, like many others, will have just exposed herself as an opportunist. And it raises questions how committed she is to those issues. I don't know that Nikki Haley really matters at the end of the day now, beyond the critique that she did. What matters is we're going to have Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and you have an existential choice between democracy or autocracy.
I watched a lot of coverage last night of Super Tuesday. Amongst them was the special report by Reed Galen and Rick Wilson on a Lincoln Project YouTube channel last night. They kept bringing up this point to both of you, that now it becomes these people, these Republican voters who have gone out repeatedly, anywhere between 60 and 30% of the Republican base in primaries across America have voted for Nikki Haley, a rejection of Trump. And can Trump get these people back? A lot of people feel not enough of them. I want to give you a couple of quick lines. This was Donald Trump, the former president's reaction after Haley dropped out. Quote, Nikki Haley got trounced last night in a record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and other Republican primaries. Much of her money came from the radical left Democrats, as many of her voters, almost 50%, according to polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race, quote-unquote, and fights it out until the end, and then goes on to a lot of self-aggrandizing things, including calling Joe Biden the enemy. Here is what President Joe Biden, in part, put out moments ago. Quote, "It takes a lot of courage to run for president. That's especially true in today's Republican Party, where so few dare to speak the truth about Donald Trump. Nikki Haley was willing to speak the truth about Trump and the chaos that always follows him, about his inability to see right from wrong, about his cowering before Vladimir Putin. Trump made it clear he doesn't want Nikki Haley's supporters. I want to make it clear there is a place for them in my campaign. I know there's a lot we don't agree on, but the one fundamental issue is preserving American democracy, on standing up for the rule of law, on treating each other with decency and dignity and respect, on preserving NATO and standing up to Americans' adversaries. I hope and believe we can find common ground." And it goes on from there. Pat Kreitlow, what do you make of those two responses?
Well, that's President Biden doing what he's doing, and that is trying to be a president for all Americans, and Donald Trump doing what he's doing and saying, you're either with me or you're the enemy. And the, like the point I made before about Nikki Haley, you know, bending the knee, you know, you probably saw within the last hour, Mitch McConnell doing the same thing, giving his endorsement of Trump. Neither one of them is doing their party or their country any favors. These are serious times. They call for a serious dose of courage. And without that courage, you have moderate voters who could have been swayed by President Biden's words. But when they see Nikki Haley and Mitch McConnell, they go, well, I guess all the other Republicans are, you know, with Trump. So I guess he must not be that bad if they're supporting him. So I guess I can too. And that is flat out wrong.
You brought up Mitch McConnell. Trigvi Olsen used to work for him at one time. This is what McConnell said on after January 6th. Quote, "There is no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking January 6th. Unquote. Today, Mitch McConnell endorsed Donald Trump. Trigvi?
Well, Pat and I would probably disagree on this, but, you know, I think there are things that Mitch McConnell has done that have impacted America in a positive way. There's some that have impacted less so for me personally. But it is really sad to me that McConnell's legacy is going to be that he blinked when he had the opportunity to address things. And I will tell you, I've worked around the world with those fighting for democracy, and I've worked in places where democracies have failed, and I've been making this point on Twitter. In every single one of them, both the legislative branch and the judicial branch had the opportunity to end the autocrat before they took power. And in every single case, they blinked. And I believe, and I find this sad as somebody who believed in Mitch McConnell, I find it sad that Mitch McConnell's legacy isn't going to be about other things that he's done that we could argue about within our democracy, whether they were wise or not. But it is going to probably be that he blinked when he had his moment to end this.
This is what Mitch McConnell said this morning. Quote, "It is abundantly clear that former President Trump has earned the requisite support of Republican voters to be our nominee for president of the United States. It should come as no surprise that as our nominee, he will have my support." Unquote.
Pat Kreitlow, to be our nominee.
Right. We give
you the last word. To be our nominee, he says. He should have been like, well, he may be the nominee of the Republican Party as it stands right now, but our party is in trouble. Our country is in trouble. So when he calls him our nominee, he can't really put that distance between himself and Trump anymore. He's tied to it. He's an enabler. And these are not good developments moving forward.
What is a good development is tune in Pat Kreitlow every morning, 6 to 8 on the Civic Media app or Bull Falls Radio. It's around Civic Media. Thank you, Pat. Feel better. Get some honey and lemon.
Off to it right now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Back with Trigvi and your phone calls on the other side right here on a Wednesday. It's the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, Joe Montana here. Back in my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia, a bacterial lung disease that can be life-threatening. If you're 65 or older, or 19 or older with certain chronic conditions like diabetes or asthma, you're at increased risk. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccination and learn more at knowpneumonia.com. That's KNOW pneumonia.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, March 6th, now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We thank Pat Kreitlow for doing yeoman's work, even with a bad voice, Trigvi Olson. He still manages to join us. We appreciate it very much. Also appreciate having Mr. Trigvi Olson, former Republican like myself, a Wisconsinite like myself, and went on and did much bigger things, unlike myself, and now with the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. And we appreciate you, Trigvi, joining us from the nation's capital or wherever around the world that you are on Wednesdays. Always a pleasure. We're going to get into more result of Super Tuesday from last night around the country, talk more of what the Lincoln Project did online with Rick Wilson and Reed Galen and Simon Rosenberg. Just a great broadcast last night on the Lincoln Project online on YouTube. Stephen was Green Bay, but I guess he dropped out. Stephen, if you're listening, give us a call back. He was going to comment on the responses there from Biden and Trump on Nikki Haley dropping out. Again, I just think that it's a stark contrast. As Pat said, it really shows the difference in who these two people are. One compassionate, reaching out, unifying, the other self-aggrandizing and divisive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Biden's statement is smart too. But I think, listen, at the end of the day, if you read those two statements, the entire, what the election is about is framed in that. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you have a zero-sum, you're either with me or you're not, autocratic. That is what autocratic states are built on. They are a zero-sum proposition, autocracy. The other is Joe Biden saying we can win together. We may not get all of what we want, but there's a place for you with us. Democracy and the genius of the founding fathers foundationally is that they came together and said, you know what, this zero-sum of kings and such isn't working. Let's replace it with something else. And that's the win-win of democracy where we can all have a peace.
Yeah,
and, I think. And those two statements really summarize it all.
One thing that's really telling to me is when you can compare what politicians say to Star Wars villains, it's pretty comical. And we have a line from as Anakin is turning into Darth Vader in Star Wars Episode 3.
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Oh, there you go. There you go. The dark side of the force, indeed. We have a new number, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, you want to comment on these two responses, one from Trump, one from Biden, on Nikki Haley suspending her campaign today. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, so I was taken aback by the differences, and not so much by Nikki Haley. I'm actually a little disappointed in Nikki Haley. I think that she left the door open for things. She should have just come out and said that Trump's not fit to be president, flat out. We all know it. But I actually wanted to talk about the difference between Biden's remarks and Trump's remarks.
Sure.
And I found it interesting. Trump's remarks are basically, if you're not MAGA, then I don't want you, which I don't know how he's expecting to win an election with that message. And then Biden's remarks are, you know, I'm everyone's president. I'm here for everybody. I'm going to let everyone, you know, come in. And we might not agree 100% on things, but I think we can find some middle ground and make things happen. It kind of reminds me when the Democrats owned slaves and the Republicans were against slavery. And the same is true now. The Republican Party has branded themselves for the longest time as a law and order party, but now we're seeing that they're not the law and order party, and Democrats are starting to pick up on them a little bit and be like, no, we're for law and order. We want to keep things safe. And, you know, it's just kind of funny how history is playing out again, and that switch in the parties where one party has completely losing sight of its identity and the other party is embracing that and really, you know, taking that into the forefront and really speaking out on that. So I just wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Drake B?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the Republican Party has transitioned into something very different from what it was foundationally. And Stephen, you know, there's lots of reasons for that we see every day. It's become a party consumed with grievance. I would argue that the broader conservative movement, part of the issue that the conservative movement has seen is, quite frankly, they won on a lot of issues. And what happens is they continue to move to the dark side, right? It is Aaron's Star Wars analogy is a good one. In fact, Mark Hamill recently made a comment to that end on Twitter, Luke Skywalker himself. But, you know, the party has transitioned. I think the Democrats are transitioning too, because what you're seeing is, you know, the biggest divide in amongst Republican voters, Haley won amongst college educated voters. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump won overwhelmingly amongst non-college educated voters. That's a shift in what the two parties were.
I want to talk about what, again, the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson, Reed Galen, and Simon Rosenberg last night had a great broadcast on YouTube TV with Lincoln Project. One of the things they talked about, Trivy, because we hear a lot about this in national media. Oh, my gosh. Somehow Joe Biden is underperforming. Look how Trump is cleaning up. They made the point last night on Lincoln Project TV that if you look at the national polls, that Trump is ahead of Nikki Haley by 60%, 60 points. He should be winning these things 60%. And if you look at what he's actually winning by, it's 30% or under in some of these cases. That by all accounts, people like you who've worked on national presidential campaigns look at these and go, hey, my candidate is in trouble because they are underperforming. Before I get your reaction, I want to play you a cut from someone who is despised by many, revered by some, Karl Rove, the great political strategist who produced a lot of victories for the Republican Party. This was Karl Rove last night on Fox talking about just this.
The high command of Team Trump ought to be concerned about unifying the Republican Party, because as we see in the in these states, a third of the vote in Virginia, 43% of the vote in Massachusetts going to Nikki Haley, a quarter of the vote in North Carolina. Maine has now dropped down to about a quarter of the vote, but it was 31% for Nikki Haley. Vermont, 48%. There's still some work to be done to unify the Republican Party. The high command of...
So there you go. There was the cut we had from Karl Rove last night, pointing this out, that if you're a Republican strategist and you're in charge like Chris LaSavita, you got to be worried about your candidate.
Well, I have no doubt, you know, as you know, Todd, I've known Chris for a long time. Chris and I've worked on campaigns together. We went and saw the Super Bowl together. He's a Steeler fan and I'm a Packer fan, of course, and he still holds it against me that the Packers beat the Steelers. But that being, and I think Wisconsin is going to beat Chris's team again this time. But I think, you know, Carl's point is an important one. All those Haley voters are going to be deluged with messaging out of La Civita and the Trump campaign, trying to claw them back. And one of the jobs of the Lincoln Project and other organizations is going to be to make sure that they're reminding these voters the critique that Nikki Haley was making. And, you know, sometimes I don't know what Nikki Haley will end up doing, but certainly Nikki Haley has exposed how with those voters you attack Trump.
We're going to come back on the other side, going to talk about the results from President Biden, going to compare them to what Barack Obama did in 2012. This whole messaging that somehow there is a chasm in the Biden vote, untrue. We'll tell you why on the other side. More Trigby, your phone calls as well. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
Wednesday on Nightlight, I welcome UWGB's Jay Finnerty and Anya Esther. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. At the World Championship Cheese Contest happening this week in Madison, you're bound to come across some cheeses you've never seen before. This is part of the excitement for contest judge Kathy Strange. She's a food ambassador and buyer for Whole Foods Market, and she judges some exotic cheeses like those made from camel or donkey milk. Some of the other cheeses that she'll taste this week will feature non-food ingredients like tree bark or strong flavors like whiskey. She says this is a growing trend among cheesemakers.
I think in terms of the bark, we've seen that demonstrated up in the French and the Swiss mountains for a number of years, but that getting implemented and integrated into the United States. Uplands Dairy does an amazing job with their products, and there's two or three others in the United States, but also flowers. Edible flowers are really being introduced not only in the exterior rind, but also in the paste of the cheese, and also alcoholic ingredients that really give unique flavors. Sartori does incredible cheeses with wines and rum.
Kathy Strange is a judge at the World Championship Cheese Contest going on now in Madison. She says these innovative flavors are something consumers are embracing, and it's what retailers are looking to showcase. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets next.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
One of the biggest logistical challenges for many farmers often occurs on the roads just outside their farms. Wisconsin farmers help feed the world. They need to have reliable roads to get food from the farm to the market. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to fix the posted roads that have been holding you back. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
From Chicago, corn is the only thing above water today. Cash corn is up a half a cent at 426 and three quarters. December new crop corn is up a penny at 460 and a quarter. Cash beans are down 4¾ cents at 1144 and a quarter. And November new crop beans are also down 4¾ cents at 1139 and a half. The April Class 3 milk contract is down 22 cents at 1603 a hundredweight. The May contract is down 18 cents, trading at 1668 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Partly to mostly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Our high today, 50, with wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 32. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, 53, with scattered rain tomorrow night into Friday. Our high Friday, 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
back to the Tahlah Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, March 6th. Along with Mr. Zommer is on the board, and he's playing some music we'll get to in a bit in regards to our former governor. But right now we have Trygve Olsen live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as we do every Wednesday. Always a pleasure. Trygve, of course, a former Republican like myself, has worked for people like John McCain, Mitch McConnell, has taken on defending democracy around the world. The only person I know who has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself, that's true, and now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project. Always a pleasure, Trygve. Glad to have you along. I wanted to talk about for a second looking at Super Tuesday results from last night, and there is this ongoing narrative by many in the mainstream media of, oh my gosh, you know, Joe Biden has some sort of a base problem, a base vote. Because as has gotten a lot of press, you have a relatively small fraction or percentage of people in America, many of whom are of Muslim or Middle Eastern beliefs and descent, who live in the United States, some are Palestinian Americans and others, who are certainly can respect the position that they may have friends or family in Gaza, who are very upset with what's going on there right now. And they are protesting and talking about voting uncommitted around the country in some of these. And so the mainstream media is trying to make this sound like this could cost Joe Biden the election. But I want to go to some results here of Joe Biden's primary results last night versus Barack Obama's 2012 primary results. So, for instance, in Alabama, last night, Joe Biden got 90% of the Democratic vote. In 2012, Barack Obama got 84. In Arizona, Biden got 90% last night. In 2012, Obama got 58. In Massachusetts, Biden got 82% last night. Obama in 12 got 81. And it goes on from there. You can go to Vermont, where Obama actually got higher in 12, 98 last night. Joe Biden got 89%. Obama in Texas got 86. Last night, Biden got 88 to 86. And I don't have the Minnesota results, but because, of course, Dean Phillips was running in Minnesota, and now breaking news from CBS that Dean Phillips has dropped out, or as they say, suspended his presidential long shot campaign on the Democratic side against Joe Biden. I think Biden got 70% in Minnesota last night. But you've run presidential campaigns. You've been on them. What say you on this narrative that somehow Biden and the Democrats have a base problem?
What was that guy's name? It doesn't matter what his name was.
Right.
Listen,
he was hot for a minute.
He was hot for about 2 seconds. A couple of things. I think one, this is the most overrated story by reporters who have far better things that they could and should be talking about, that you know, somehow there's a base problem. Both of the candidates have some challenges with their base. Donald Trump's challenges with his base are far greater than Joe Biden's. And let me give you some other numbers. Nevada, 20,000 voters. Wisconsin, 22,500 voters. Arizona, 24,000 voters. Michigan, 70,000 voters. And Pennsylvania, 85,000 voters. You know what voters those are, Todd?
The difference in the win?
Those are the first generation Eastern European and second generation Eastern European Americans in each of those states. Now, you think where Joe Biden is standing on issues like NATO and Ukraine versus what Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are doing on Ukraine and what Donald Trump is saying about inviting Russians to come in and storm their countries, you think that those people are going to be voting ultimately if presented with the choice, which they're going to have between Joe Biden, who supports NATO, expanded NATO, fought, has been aiding Ukraine, and Donald Trump? Yeah, right?
Right.
This is the kind of things that reporters should be talking about. And for those who are interested, Reed Galen and I did the Lincoln Project podcast, and on Twitter right now, a cut of it is circulating. I went on a massive rant. The media is completely missing the boat because they're not talking about what this election is really about, which is those two statements that you read. Joe Biden saying win-win, the tradition of American democracy, and Donald Trump pushing autocratic zero-sum, you're either with me or you're my enemy.
Yeah.
We're not enemies, we're all Americans.
And you've talked about this several times, I know, and always appreciate when you're able to do a guest host and fill in for me. But I mean, you grew up in northwestern Wisconsin, you went to school here, you know it very, very well. And the fact is that I think that Wisconsinites are much more unified and alike than they are different. There are a lot of things that bind us together. And I still believe, what's your take on this, Trigvi? I still believe in places like the 3rd District where you have Do Nothing, Derek Van Orten, and other places in Wisconsin that Derek Van Orten is a Trumper. He's endorsed Trump 100%. I just don't feel that the good folks of Western Wisconsin, there's enough of them who are going to want to vote for Trumpism and Do Nothing, Derek Van Orten.
Yeah, because they understand what it is. I think they really wonder if they would want these people as their neighbor, right? Like, if you had to choose, would you want Derek Van Orten or Donald Trump as your neighbor? Actually, right. would you want Eric Hovde as your neighbor? Yeah, if you want to move to California, but you get a really good house, because I suspect Eric Hovde's house is pretty fantastic.
Well, I've seen pictures online. It's beautiful, overlooking the Pacific.
It is. I know, seriously. Hopefully it doesn't erode into it. It's ironic that Republicans who bash on, you know, the MAGAs and some of these people, I think about a friend of mine on Facebook who bashes California all the time, and yet they're all in for Eric Hovde versus Tammy Baldwin, who, honestly, of all of them, if you were to choose one to have be your neighbor, Tammy would be the person you want as your neighbor.
100%. Great person. Great Wisconsinite.
Times a thousand. Yeah, great Wisconsinite. And really, you're not a great – you don't demonstrate your Wisconsin creed by jumping into freaking Lake Mendota through ice, right?
Like,
if you want Eric, I'm going to give you a little free counsel. I know that Scott Walker says you don't have political consultants, but I'll give you a little free advice. And I'm probably better at the political consulting game than Scott Walker, given that he has like 400,000 followers on Twitter and averages about 40 likes per tweet. And I have 16,000 and average about 2,000 likes per tweet. But here's the tip. Instead of going and jumping in the lake, which actually you should go jump in the lake, Eric Hovde, what you need to do is go out and cut a hole in the ice and go fishing. Put up some tip-ups and drink some spotted cow or lineys, depending on where you are.
Right.
You think Pat Kreitlow is cutting a hole in the ice and jumping in it? I doubt it. He's going out with an auger, cutting a hole in the ice, cracking open a cold one, a lineys, and putting up some tip-ups.
Off the text line, WAUK, Jeff from Shorewood says, as a former goalie on the Wisconsin JV team, I loved hearing that Trigvi is a hockey guy. Putin probably banned him from Russia because he cross-checked Putin in a pickup game. Is that true?
That is not true, but I played. I got picked up by this. When we were over there long ago, I got picked up by this B League Baltic Belarus League team.
Did you really?
And we were supposed to go play a game in Minsk, but because I was banned from Belarus, I couldn't go play in that game.
Boys, I like to go That's play, but awesome. I'm banned.
Yeah. I still go out and play. In fact, I had 2 7-8. Hey, you'll love this, Todd. Every team that I play on, I get asked at least once a season to make brats the way they do at Lambeau Field.
Really?
And bring them in for after the game. And this week, I had 2 games at 7 a.m. And I made brats for both of them. And these guys, these Virginia types from all over the country, they were digging the brats.
That's fantastic.
Johnsonville, of course.
Of course.
Marinated in Pabst Blue Ribbon.
No more Wisconsin than that, I'm telling you.
No.
We actually played a cut yesterday of him jumping in the lake, and then we had him doing an ad for his bank out in California during the pandemic, and it's just stark how he yucks up the Wisconsin accent now that he's running for office in Wisconsin versus how he really talks when he's out in Southern California. It's noticeable. It's just
Wisconsinites are going to see through this BS and tell Eric Hovde literally go jump in a lake.
Go jump in the lake.
And you know what? He won't stay in Wisconsin if he loses.
Oh, no. No, heck no. Absolutely not. No. Not every Republican is as spineless as Eric Hovde and Scott Walker. There are a few standing up to MAGAism and Trumpism. One of them is Congressman Ken Buck, a Republican of Colorado, who is not going to run again. And he was stark this week when he talked about why. Here is Congressman Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado.
There are a lot of things that went into the decision, but really we're at a time in American politics that I am not going to lie on behalf of my presidential candidate, on behalf of my party. And I'm very sad that others in my party have taken the position that as long as we get the White House, it doesn't really matter what we say.
Pretty good, huh, Trivi?
Really good. And there was a time when Ken Buck was seen as this MAGA, as this Tea Party sort of guy. Mm-hmm. He's speaking truth to power. Amen for Ken Buck.
Yeah, absolutely. One more cut here is former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican who sat on the bipartisan January 6th committee with former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Here's what Kinzinger said last night in terms of Republicans finally crossing a line on CNN's Jim Acosta.
You know, after January 6th, there was about 3 weeks in the House caucus where we were all kind of, everybody was quiet, trying to figure out what would happen next. Fred Upton, who's sometimes on the network, we call him the Upton prophecies. He said, I think Donald Trump runs again. And I'm like, dude, you're nuts. You're nuts. There's no way he runs again. And it was when Kevin McCarthy went to Mar-a-Lago that literally within the House caucus, you all of a sudden saw people kind of drop their head and say, I guess we're going with Trump again. And the dominoes fell. I never expected that in the face of that, we'd be where we are, because I thought, Jim, that people had red lines that they were unwilling to cross when they ran for public office, that they were willing to play politics, because we all have to, but that there was a here but no further. And unfortunately, almost all of my colleagues crossed what I thought was a substantial red line that was inherent in the oath you take for office.
So there you go. There's former Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Trigvi, you and I are former Republicans. I thought this back in 2016. Now, I thought there was a red line that guys like Mitch McConnell and others, Lindsey Graham and others, there's no way that they would let a nut job like Trump take over their party. I, of course, was stark wrong. In your opinion, somebody who's worked with these people at the national level, is it just a lust for power, for relevance? Why is it that they're willing to cross this line for Trump when guys like Scott Walker and Reince Priebus, when you have other people like Paul Ryan who do not?
You know, that's a really good question, and it's one I've pondered in places around the world, right? Because there are people who inevitably know what's going on is wrong. I mean, throughout history, in all these places, in the places I worked, you know, it's really hard to, you know, I think for most of them, it's just a desire to be somebody, right? Like they've aspired their entire life wanting to be. We've talked about that in the context of Scott Walker on ad nauseum, you know, at Badger Boys State. He was the guy who wanted to be. I think Elise Stefanik didn't directly work for me, but I worked in and around her in 16. She was all in. She was a Paul Ryan acolyte. And, you know, look at the crazy that's coming out of her. I just think, you know, the desire for power is a strong aphrodisiac. And a lot of them, too, in these places I've worked around the world, and we've seen that here, they just don't believe it's possible. And so they think somebody else will take care of it. I mean, McConnell, well, we still have a criminal justice system, right? Everybody's sitting around. They don't want to expend the capital to stand up and do it. And I get that because, quite frankly, you know, making a decision to be a part of the Lincoln Project was not the more lucrative path. Mm-hmm. It was not the easier path. I've lost lots of friends. You know, I was offered a pretty substantial amount of money to do work for a Trump super PAC in 2020, mostly because I think they thought I didn't want to do, they didn't want me to do Lincoln Project. Yeah, I mean, 30 pieces of silver is a real thing, Todd.
Yeah. Well, we're so sure happy that you did the right thing and went to Lincoln Project. You're fighting for democracy. And again, it's a coalition. Whether you're a Nikki Haley person, whether you're a Biden person, whether you're an independent, the coalition to save democracy is open to everyone. And we invite you there. We'll come back with more with Trigvi Olson. Talk about Scott Walker missing the train, literally. And also preview the State of the Union on the other side. It's a tolerable show on Civic Media.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Driving that train, high cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on Civic Media's Radio Network 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, March 6th. Mr. Zomers, what do you dial up there?
Some Casey Jones by the Grateful Dead. You got to get that good old train song in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens to also be about cocaine. Don't worry about that part. No, it's about trains.
The trains. We're going to talk about trains in a second. But first of all, off the text line, let's go back there, Mr. Zomers, on the beer text. This is from Steady Eddie because Trigvy was talking about doing his brats in Pabst Blue Ribbon. Said, just looked it up. Pabst Brewery Company is now based in San Antonio, Texas. Sad, says Steady Eddie. Well, you know, that happens.
Incredibly sad.
That's why you
got to find out when they move. When did they move there, Eddie? Mm. Can you find that out for us quickly? Because it would be good to know.
I bet a while.
Was it during the Walker years?
Probably. Also off the text line here from WBZH. We were just up there, up in Hayward, Mr. Zomers. Thank you very much. Hello, Trigvy from Steve Johnson. Keep up the good fight. Come up to visit Hayward. So Steve, listen.
No way.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So people,
we might just do that, right, Todd?
I was in Hayward for 3 days. It was lovely, and Trigvy and I are working on a little project here to do some traveling. So I think Hayward is on the list. So Steve, you may see us sooner rather than later. So. Yeah. Speaking of the train song, there, Mr. Zomer has dialed up a great story today. Well, not so great, but great reporting from Urban Milwaukee. That is here and saw it today. And this is from yesterday, actually. It came out. Headline, 12 years after being built, Wisconsin's Talgo trains enter service. I want to read just a little bit, Trigvy, then get your reaction. Milwaukee-made trains designed for high-speed service picked up their first passengers last week. Wisconsin taxpayers paid millions for the Talgo transit train sets, but will need to spend even more on a plane ticket if they ever want to ride them. Instead of welcoming passengers traveling between Chicago, Milwaukee, and Madison, the badger-colored train sets are ferrying passengers, wait for it, in Lagos, Nigeria. In 2010, then-Governor-elect Scott Walker refused an $823 million federal grant to build an Amtrak extension service from Madison and plan an extension to Minneapolis. But the state was still on the hook to pay for the train sets ordered in 2009 by predecessor Jim Doyle. Rather than invest in a maintenance facility to put the train sets into on the existing line, Walker and the Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature had the state default on the contract. Talgo, which assembled the trains in a facility in Milwaukee's Century City Business Park, sued in 2012 as the train sets were completed and the equipment was placed into a decade of storage. Wisconsin ultimately settled with Talgo, a move that cost the state $59 million and allowed the Spanish company to maintain ownership of the equipment. By the way, Talgo is still in Milwaukee, still building trains for other places like Oregon, Washington, Vancouver, and Canada as well. It's because of Scott Walker. That beautiful cardinal and white train now travels in Africa. Trivials.
You know, the irony of that is when I fly into Madison, I typically, you know this, Todd, because I've ended up doing your show from O'Hare.
Yes.
I typically fly into O'Hare and drive up because it's just cheaper and easier. It would be wonderful to have a train that went from Chicago to Madison, right? Yeah. Like, why would you be against that? But here's what's even more ironic, I think. So on February 26th, Scott Walker was on Fox News, and he says, looking ahead, former President Donald Trump should pick a governor as his running mate, or former governor. It would appeal to swing voters in swing states who are looking for proven problem solvers. Yep, there's Scott Walker solving problems. Plus, younger voters are concerned about the economy, and governors are on the front line. He literally suggests himself. Now, here's what's hilarious about it, though. It only got 49 likes. It had 79 comments from people who were just ripping the daylights out of him about some of the stupidity when he was in office, and they probably didn't even know about the trains. He cost the state $59 million.
Yeah, I mean, you can go online, and there's a video of it from this week over at it's beautiful. It's literally cardinal red and white. It was designed literally for the state of Wisconsin. We could have, and they're beautiful trains.
You know who'd have been all in on that? It's Tommy Thompson.
Absolutely.
That man loved his roads and trains.
Yeah. Absolutely. Uncle Rodney, Rodney Croon, longtime rail manager for the state of Wisconsin. I mean, Tommy Thompson invested in transportation. I mean, you go up to, you know this, Triggy.
He's on the Amtrak board.
Yeah, on the Amtrak. You go to from Green Bay to Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls on Highway 29. That was Tommy Thompson.
Yeah. And I will tell you, as somebody who lived in Western Wisconsin for Packer games, it made it so much better. Because when that road was two lanes, it was just a disaster.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The State of the Union coming up. And again, Speaker Mike Johnson trying to screw over Joe Biden by moving the State of the Union to nearly an unprecedented date in March. As it turns out, Johnson gave Biden a national platform to launch the general election. So I think this is fantastic coming up. So here's just a couple of things, right? You've got 40,000 infrastructure projects to talk about, protecting competition in our economy by stopping mergers and acquisitions that create monopolies in the sectors of our economy. You're talking about bringing manufacturing jobs back to America. And, of course, the biggest bill that was passed since Obamacare, the infrastructure bill. Trivy, lots for the president to talk about. Oh, and also just heard this morning that he invited, I believe she accepted, the widow of Alexei Navalny is going to be in the gallery this on Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, you know, you've had some of these Republicans saying they don't think Biden should be able to give a State of the Union speech. Now, here's the thing. Joni Ernst was on TV saying that for sure. Can you imagine the outrage that would be going on if Democrats had suggested, Nancy Pelosi had suggested that maybe Donald Trump shouldn't give a State of the Union?
Yeah.
Like this, a central part of knowing when you're seeing autocratic action, what people need to ask themselves is, you don't need to think about what your side is doing. You need to ask yourself, if the other side were doing it, would you be outraged what your side is doing? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is yes, then you know that it's not within the democratic norms of our society. And that's true at state politics, true at local politics, it's true with national politics. If you have to ask yourself, with every action of, if you're a Republican, with every action of Donald Trump, if Barack Obama was doing it, would you be outraged? Not saying, oh, he did that or whatever, but you have to ask yourself literally specifics. If Donald, you know, if Barack Obama, you're a Republican, and Barack Obama were proposing it, would you be outraged?
Yeah. There you go. Never an outrage to have Trigvi Olson with us. Appreciate you always taking the time, my friend, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olson. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Come back on the other side. We'll talk a little bit more politics and whatever else is on your mind. Todd Lobel's show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Your news starts now.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Nightlight.
with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the punching bag or the patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the punching bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Now that Nikki Haley has suspended her campaign, Donald Trump is now the presumptive Republican nominee.